I haven't gone over this, so I don't know how long it's going to take.
All day.
We'll be back at 2, so you got till 2, David.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's interesting that I'm speaking before the cleansing starts, as if after I speak, you're going to need some cleansing. No, praise the Lord. For those who are watching online, you have not stumbled on to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. On that note, some time ago, and she's not up here, Keegan or Gabby or both of them told me that they were watching some short videos, and a video came on of Mr. Rogers, and Colton said, "He looks like that guy at church." Thank you, Colson. I take that as a compliment.
You should.
And in that same note, isn't it a beautiful day in the neighborhood? It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit's here. It doesn't matter if I'm here. The Holy Spirit's here. God's Word is here. His worship is here. His people are here. And we're gathered together in Jesus' name to glorify Him. Because He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Open this up. I don't use a electronic device yet, but it looks like a great idea. I still use paper. Yes. And as long as I don't lose my place, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm as sorry as long as I don't lose the Lord's place. I'll be fine. And I told someone earlier I was really excited and a little bit nervous. And I shared with Pastor, one of my mentors up in Grandview, we were talking and he said, "Brother David, the day that you're not a little bit nervous is the day you don't take it seriously." So I am nervous, excited, all of those things. This morning. Well, I wanted to talk about the fact that Jesus is more than enough. In John 6, there's a story that's very familiar. It's the story of when the multitude was fed, commonly called the feeding of the 5,000. And when you really read it, there was probably quite a few more than 5,000 individuals there that day. That would be overwhelming in today's world, but at that time, that's a bunch of people. It's a lot of people. So in John 6, I'm going to read a few verses. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Most of us are familiar with this from children's church, Sunday school. There's been countless messages preached on this story, a lot of teaching on this story. It's on all 4 Gospels. We know it well. So there may be nothing I say today that you haven't heard before. But that's okay. My mother, bless her heart, she's about 90, I believe. She's been a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus since she was 7 years old. And when a woman like that can stand up and say, the Word of God is still fresh, it's still new, it's still alive, then I look at myself and say, who am I to say I've heard it before and I don't need to hear it again? Praise the Lord. So I don't know whether you'll get anything out of this or not, but I sure enjoyed studying for it. Praise the Lord. This is a huge miracle. Tremendous miracle. What's a miracle? Anybody?
Something totally unexpected. Something impossible happens.
Yes. In our Monday night Bible study, we got a definition of a miracle, didn't we, LaCrista? Supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. In other words, God steps in and He says, I know you've been diagnosed with cancer and given 6 months to live. I'm going to change that course. I know that your son is in prison and he's sentenced to 20 years, which will take him well into his 40s, but I'm going to intervene and he's released after 8. That is a miracle. I think it was a miracle last week that so many showed up for service. In the normal course of nature, Pastor, you might not even have been here.
Yeah.
We weren't here. We were doing something else, but so many came. It was a miracle that so many got here, I believe. Some days when we get up and we think, oh gosh, it's going to be a miracle if I can do what I need to do today. God intervenes. He quickens this mortal body and you're able to do more than you thought you could do. So this great multitude followed Jesus. This great multitude followed Jesus. And in verse 2, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. I love miracles myself. I love it when Jesus heals. It's wonderful when he comes in and delivers different people from so many different things. The multitude followed him because of what he could do. The disciples followed him because they believed he was the Messiah.
Amen. Yes.
And they were closer to him than the multitude. So many times I wonder, are we following the crowd or are we following Jesus?
That's a great question.
Yes.
Be honest with yourself. And you wonder sometimes, am I just going where everyone else is going to be? Or am I following my Savior, my Messiah, my coming bridegroom? Not because of what He can do, but because of what He's already done. Praise the Lord. So they're on a mountain in verse 3, and He's there with His disciples. And like I mentioned, the disciples were apart from the multitude. A disciple is a learner. Any disciples here?
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to do the same thing Jeff did about volunteering. We all should be learners.
Amen.
My mother's still a learner.
Praise God.
There's younger people who are wonderful learners. You know the best way to learn? teach.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And if you haven't experienced that, you should. So the disciples were with him on the mountain. They were separate from the multitude. They were closer to him. They walked with him daily. They were with him daily. Are you with the Lord daily?
Yes.
Do you spend time with him daily? Do you come up in the morning and say, well, I'll get to that devotion when I get time? That used to be me. No, I can't wait to get there.
Hallelujah.
Now, I might have my coffee with it.
Of course.
What's the saying? A little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's the greatest stimulant there ever was and there ever will be, because he doesn't leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
It doesn't wear off.
Come on.
And he doesn't leave you like feeling like you hit the wall. He takes you to the top of the mountain.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, he does.
So we see in verse 4 then, the Passover was near. You know, Jesus was the substance of God's Passover. He was the true substance of God's Passover. Jesus was the one who was going to supply more than enough for the multitude that day. And he's also the one who would provide enough at Calvary.
Hallelujah.
To supply eternal life to all who believed.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Then in verse 5. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him. And so he says, yo, Phil. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Where's all them people coming from? No, he looked up and he saw the people. He didn't know, he didn't have to, he knew where they were coming from and he knew why they were coming. So he asked Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Knowing what he would do, why would he ask Philip his suggestion if he already knew what he was going to do? I believe he wanted Philip to know his own attitude. I believe he puts us in situations as if he's asking us, what are you going to do? What should we do? And we go, I got an idea. We come up with our ideas. So anyway, Philip has an idea. He says, yeah, we've got probably 200 denarii. That might have been all the money they had in their bag, was 200 denarii. But he said, that's not even enough to buy bread so that each one could have a little. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew Philip's answer and what Philip's solution would be. And he knew what Philip's excuse would be. It's not enough. It's not enough. Because he wanted Philip to know his own attitude. And I tell you, the Lord's done that with me. He's brought me to places and situations in my life where I realize I've got the wrong attitude here. I'm looking to the wrong source. I'm looking to the wrong supply.
Hallelujah.
And he wants us to focus back on him.
Yes.
I had someone I was talking to about this, and they said, think about it. The answer was standing right there.
Yes. Right in front of him.
He never leaves us or forsakes us. The answer is always right there. So we see that Philip's basically saying, you know, if we had more money, we could buy enough bread. Have we ever said that? If I had more money, if I had more time, if I had more talent, I could be up here with the worship team. If I was a better speaker, I could preach. If I was a better teacher, I could teach.
Always thought I wasn't good enough.
Right. They saw such a great need before them and that their resources were so small. You ever done that? You see such a great need and you realize your resources are so small, you can't do anything about it. Obstacles and trials can consume us. They can become so big in our lives. I'm speaking from personal experience, even in this last week with a couple of situations that happened. Our faith dwindles. Unbelief creeps in. And you know what comes after unbelief? Fear. Unbelief causes fear. The fear of failing. The fear of being asked to speak and letting everyone down. The fear that God will not help me when I need it the most.
Always.
Philip saw the crowd, not the Christ.
Come on.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
You see the obstacle, not the one who can get you through it. You see the hurdle, not the one that can get you over it. You see the mountain, not the one that can take you over it. He saw the crowd and not the Christ. We see the demand and not the supply.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. We are so limited in ourselves, aren't we? But Jesus is not. A week ago Wednesday, Pat Bryson was here. And I wrote down a couple of things that he said. He said this: are you impressed with the need, or are you impressed with God?
Yes.
What are you impressed with? What has made the biggest impression on you? So we go on to verse 8 and 9, and we see Philip's idea, and we get to Andrew. Andrew says, hey, there's a little boy over here with his lunch. Not nearly enough. And why did you even bring it up then? But anyway, because we have to do something. We feel like we have to say something. We have to contribute something to help God.
Come on.
We really do feel that way. I do sometimes. Let go and let God.
Amen.
You know, we say that, we believe it, but in actuality, it's not always easy to do. Simple things aren't always easy. And God wants us to just depend on Him. So Andrew's made a discovery. Well, we don't have enough money, but this boy's got his lunch. But what are they among so many? So he has a suggestion, but right away he goes into doubt. Wow. Well, Lord, I'm glad I was asked to speak, but I don't know if it'll be very good. We go right from appreciation and a suggestion into doubting because we're depending on ourselves. Yes. Will I fail? Praise the Lord. So it's still not enough. Why would we even start? Why did I even bring it up? So we go from Philip's suggestion of spending all their money on bread that won't even begin to be enough to Andrew suggesting that they use something they've already got, but it's probably just enough to feed a family or two. Don't we come up with such silly ideas? Me telling Jesus how I'm going to handle it on my own. I don't think he laughs like that, but he had to be frustrated somewhat at this situation. Praise the Lord. I had to do that. I've been looking at that for, my wife gave me that. Imagine that. Here, she says, I made you your own copy. Put it up next to your computer there so you'll see it in your desk when you go in there.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 55:8, I like the New Living Translation. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Don't limit God to your own understanding. Don't limit God to your own understanding. My dad used to say, we have finite minds.
Amen.
There's as great as our minds are, as capable as our brains are, that still has a limit.
Amen.
God doesn't. His thoughts are far beyond ours. Don't limit God to your own understanding or your own expectations. As my lovely wife would say, don't put God in a box. And carry him around with you. Yeah, I got here. Oh, okay. I don't know if he can do this. It's not in the box. You know? Praise the Lord. We had some guy speaking here some time ago about God's boundless word and how God's word is not bound. It's not limited. It's not restricted. God is not bound or limited or restricted to our thoughts or our expectations. He wants to surprise you. God wants to do something unexpected in our lives. I believe he's working on it here now. He works on us each as individuals in our individual house. And then when we come together, it spreads through this whole house. This house that we've built, or we've allowed God to build, right? Except the Lord build the house. We've let him build the foundation and the frame and the walls and the consecrated roof. And we've been separated unto God. And when we go out into the world, we're still separated unto God as individuals. Don't limit him to just being here at this time. He's with you always. He said he would be with you always. That means always. Praise the Lord. So God wants to move in ways to inspire you. He loves to put us in awe.
Yes.
He really does. And he wants to make us grateful, joyful, and he wants to cause us to trust him and love him even more than we do now. There was an old song out, I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. That's my song to Jesus. I want to love you more than ever, every day. And he loves to hear that. So we see in verse 10, Jesus' answer, make the people sit down. Okay, right away I thought, okay, Lord, when I want an answer, I want you to explain the plan to me. And I am a person that likes to know ahead of time how many people are coming to the house. What are we going to have to eat? What's each one bringing? How long are they going to stay? Which is my way of saying, how soon are they going to go? And you're probably wondering, how long is he going to preach? As long as it takes for me to get this out of my system. It may be more than enough. Praise the Lord. But Jesus didn't explain his plan. He didn't huddle. He didn't say, okay, let's all get together and huddle up. This is what I'm going to do. You know, like a football team, they huddle up and they call a play. There's not an offensive coordinator over on the sideline telling them what to do and telling them what's going to happen. Jesus says, make them sit down. He gave instruction. How many times does he use a situation in your life that's overwhelming? You can't see how it's going to work out. And he instructs you. Sit down. Why sit down? Be still. Know he's there. Wait on him. Exactly. Acknowledge his authority. Be ready to receive. I like to sit still, stop moving. Praise the Lord. Whether you're physically sitting down or not, you can spiritually be in a position ready to receive what he has to give you because it will be more than enough. He will give you all you want. He will supply your need fully. Get in a position to be ministered to. He came to minister. He came to teach. Praise the Lord. So we acknowledge his headship and his ability and the fact, Lord, I know you can take care of this, so I'm just going to let you do that. As opposed to trying to do it ourselves. Be expecting even before anything happens.
That's right.
Think about it. Be expecting. He hasn't blessed the food and multiplied it yet, and he's saying, sit down and be ready to receive. Be ready to receive when you come here. Be ready to receive when you go to your morning devotion and you sit down and you're half asleep and you're drinking your coffee. Expect him to supply you with more than enough, because he will. He will supply it for you. Praise the Lord. God wants us to trust him each step of the way. That's why I think one reason he didn't tell them the whole plan. Lord, I'll take that step if you tell me what the next one's going to be.
Yeah.
Lord, I will witness to this person if you'll tell me how they're going to react.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I'll volunteer at the warming shelter if you'll tell me it's really going to do any good. And let me tell you something, it's done me a lot of good. So many needy people.
Yes.
So many needy people. Praise the Lord. So we trust him each step of the way. And I wanted, I had to squeeze this in because I was going over these this morning and I thought, wow. Sometimes the simplest act of obedience leads to the greatest blessing. Just a simple act of obedience to him. Don't want to talk a lot about money, but tithing. Giving to the Lord, just a simple act of obedience, not expecting in return, but because he asked us to. He doesn't need the money. He wants us to obey. When we simply obey, we can sometimes receive the greatest blessings, more than we can imagine. It doesn't make a bit of sense, does it? But in God's house, that's what he wants to do. One of my favorite parts then is in verse 11. And Jesus took. It's in his hands now. It's in Jesus' hands. He gave thanks. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, Father, I wish there was more, but I'll do what I can with this. I wish there was more, but I'll settle for this much. He blessed it.
Yes.
Wednesday night, Sister Lou Ann shared a word with us from the Lord.
Amen.
And I wrote this down. My wife said, you sure were writing things down? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, God was confirming that this is what I'm supposed to talk about. Part of that word was, I am your supply. I can multiply what you have.
Yes.
You don't think you have much? Give it all to him. And he'll fill you up with himself.
Right.
Just give it all to him.
Hallelujah.
You know, the bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Amen.
And believe me, I've given him a lot of bad and ugly.
Praise God.
But he takes that. And he doesn't work good despite those things. He uses those things to work good for us, doesn't he? He uses them, and that just flies right in the face of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Take that.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, take that. Anyway, he uses those things when he takes it in his hands. He took it. It's now in his hands. So we see then, when he had given thanks, he distributed them, and each one had as much as they wanted. So we go from verse 7 and that suggestion where there wouldn't even be enough for each to have a little, to putting it in Jesus' hands, and each one got all they wanted.
Yeah.
What a difference that makes when it's in his hands. Everything changed in his hands. I changed in his hands. You've changed in his hands. Pastor, you changed in his hands. Praise the Lord. And he still changes everything when it's put in his hands. A song that I don't think it's a coincidence, a song I've been hearing quite a bit the last couple of weeks, ever since I was voluntold to speak. Thank you. Out of my hands and into yours. out of my hands and into yours. Take it out of my hands. Sometimes the Lord needs to encourage us to put it in his hands with circumstances. We want to hold on to these things. I can fix it. I can do it. I can pay for it. I can work hard enough. I can do this. I can do that. Finally, we give it over to him. Praise the Lord. Do you know, I thought about some of the things that happens when things are put in his hands. When it's put in his hands, just a little becomes abundantly above all you could ask or think. Weakness then in his hands becomes strong in the power of his might. Sickness becomes health. In his hands, the impossible becomes possible. In his hands, things that be not become things that are. In his hands, a mess becomes a message. When we put it in his hands, stumbling blocks become stepping stones. I like that. Stumbling blocks become stepping stones. When we're down and out and there's been a tragedy and we're sad, we put it in his hands and he turns my mourning into dancing. Praise the Lord. And death becomes life in his hands. And not just life. Life more abundantly in his hands. Hallelujah. There are many in Scripture that put their life in the Lord's hands and experienced miraculous changes. I'm only going to name a couple. Abraham, an idolater from Ur of the Chaldees, in the Lord's hands. Look what he became, what many call the father of faith. Hallelujah. The father of the promised son. David, a wimpy teenager, a sheep herder. In God's hands, he became the greatest king Israel ever knew up to now. There is a king coming who will be greater than he. But up to now, David was the greatest king after God's own heart because he was in his hands. In God's hands, a man named Saul, who violently persecuted Christians, consented to their death. He became the greatest missionary we've ever known or read about, and half of the New Testament is credited to him and his teachings for the church. That's in God's hands. The disciples in God's hands. Boy, was that a myriad of rejects. Look what they became in God's hands. Learners, they learned of him, they walked with him. And there's some here today that have gone through miraculous changes. I wish you could have been here Wednesday night when Brother Chuck was asked to close us out in prayer. And he said, "Can I say something?" And he talked about how low so many have been and how God has lifted him up. Only in his hands can he lift them up from that depths, from the miry clay, and set their feet on the rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. He made a difference. I saw something on I was scrolling through social media. My excuse was I was looking for something on my grandson. And I saw this. God picks up a nobody and makes them a somebody in front of everybody, and he doesn't have to ask anybody. Praise the Lord. So these people are fed all that they wanted. When it went into Jesus' hands, it made all the difference because he's more than enough. Notice, Jesus was the source, not the lad, not the disciples. Some manuscripts do not include the part where the disciples distributed it. It doesn't matter. It came from Jesus. There are learners and disciples distributing what Jesus has given them. There are learners and disciples distributing what Jesus has blessed them with to give to others. And then there's times when Jesus gives a direct gets a direct line with us and gives us a revelation and gives us truth, isn't it? Those are great too. Either way, he's the source. He's the supply. All of that they wanted. You know, we most often fall short. He never will. He never will. And then in verse 12, when they were filled, he said, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is wasted. I used to think about this and wonder, leftovers. I love leftovers. Yeah, Nate.
It always tastes better the next day.
Yes, that sounds like my wife back there. We're going to have leftovers twice today, I think. Praise the Lord. So I wondered, would some look at this and say, oh, well, that miracle, that was a waste. Jesus was just showing off. He did too much when he supplied more than enough. I believe Jesus is telling us he's more than enough. He doesn't just barely get there and scratch by and give us enough. He's more than enough. There's always more. He not only gives us life, he gives us that abundant life, and he sustains that life. He's not only built this house, he's going to sustain this house. He's going to supply this house because he's in this house. Praise the Lord. He's more than enough love, more than enough grace, more than enough power, and more than enough wisdom for you and me and anyone else that decides to partake of what he has to offer. And none of his sacrifice, none of his blessings going to be wasted. He doesn't waste blessings, does he? We may think he has. Well, oh, he blessed brother so-and-so so much, but he's turned back to the ways of the world. What a waste. No! God is still working, and that somehow will work in others, and it's none of our business. It's God's business what he does with his supply. Praise his name. None of his sacrifice, none of his blessing will be wasted. It's all useful. It's all useful. And we're all useful. Preacher I know says there's no such thing as a useless member in the body of Christ. You're going to be used for something. Praise the Lord. We may never know what God uses some of his blessings for, but nothing is wasted. I was going to close, and I think I still will. It shouldn't take too long. Philippians 4:19. Love it, don't we? We love it, don't we? My. I can hardly get past that. My. Paul is saying, my God. It's personal. My God. He's my God. Amen. Is he your God? Amen. My God. My God. He's my Father. Praise the Lord. Shall. Not maybe. Not if you're good, Kevin. He shall. He shall. Supply. In the Greek, that means liberally supply more than enough. Whoa! What a title for a message. More than enough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Kenneth Wiest's Greek translation says he will fill to the full. He will supply just some of your needs. I love it. I could have said that other places and wouldn't have heard a thing. But anyway, there is no lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. If he's my shepherd, I won't lack. We all have a shepherd. We're all following something. Everyone in this world is following somebody. If you're not following the shepherd, you will lack. Yeah, that's right. If you're not following the one and only true shepherd, Jesus Christ, you will lack. But if he is your shepherd, you will not lack. Because he supplies more than enough. He will supply everything I want to make me comfortable and fuzzy and cozy and all the luxuries of life. I know people like that, and they're not happy. Not really. And they just hate to see me coming. And they love to see me going. But anyway, needs, not wants, needs. He knows what we have need of, and he meets them according to his plan. We know our natural needs, clothing, food, shelter, comfortable place, you know. And he does that. But spiritually, he supplies our needs. For clothing, he clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. For food, he gives us the true bread from heaven and the milk and meat of his word. For shelter, he hides us under the shadow of his wing and in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. And for comfort, we can lean on his everlasting arms and rest in the power of the Holy Ghost for that peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. And then it's according to his riches and glory. Unlimited resources in his storehouse. And that is, as I said, to fill our house and to fill my house. Regardless of how rich a man is, it's not an unlimited supply. He can give just a little, and it still depletes his storehouse. It's not that way with God. He keeps giving and giving, and his storehouse is not depleted because of his riches in glory. We cannot exhaust his supply. Some of us have tried. You know, we've wondered, boy, I used to say, by the time the Lord gets done with me, there's not going to be anything left for anyone else. We've all felt that way, I believe, at certain times. But no. Yes. He supplies it according to his riches and glory, which will never, ever run out. I was joking with my two brothers, and my one brother said, yeah, you'd think after the three of us, everyone else would be out of luck. No. My mom corrected us pretty quickly. And he knows how to supply each need. Something else Pat Bryson said, God often moves beyond our walls of experience, our limits, more than we can imagine. And he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, because we deserve it. Kevin is staring me down. By Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and because of Christ Jesus, we have the ability and the right to assume we can go and have all of these supply, all this supply to meet our needs. Because he is my supply, and I believe he is. I believe he is, and he paid for that in full at Calvary. He said, it's finished. Debt has been paid. We read in Scripture that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. I shared this with Pastor a couple of weeks ago. If Christ is all I have, then I have all I need. He was more than enough. He is more than enough. And he always will be more than enough. That's right, Josh. He always will be more than enough. And you know what? I think that's more than enough. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good word. I love you, Brother David. You know, when I was listening to the word, I was hearing a couple things. I got my notes here. Trust, obey, expect, surrender, testify, and repeat. Yeah. Let me tell you something about the fragments. There's something about the fragments. You get to carry those with you to tomorrow. Yeah. They still testify about yesterday's miracle. And you know what? Somebody else is going to be blessed by that miracle. And God's asking you to pick up the fragments in your life of the miracles that he's done in your life so that you can show somebody else what God's done for you. Because what God's done for you, God wants to do for them. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing when you allow God to move in your life. I'm telling you, somebody's following you. Somebody is following you. Whether you know it or not, you're leading somebody. Show them the goodness of God. Allow God to do miracles in your life. You got to give him access. You got to surrender to him. You got to trust. You got to expect God to move. God's wanting to move in your life. And I just sense there are some hungry people in here. Not because it's lunchtime. I'm talking about spiritual hunger. There's people that have been feeding themselves something and they don't know what they're doing. They just haven't been taught. They haven't been shown. Worship team, if you guys want to come up. Hallelujah. I believe God is wanting to feed those who are spiritually hungry. He wants to give you something that will satisfy your spirit, your spiritual appetite. So if you've been finding yourself not trusting God, that you're trying to make the plan, you see what's coming ahead, and God asks you here, and he shows you, here I am, but you say, God, this is the plan, this is what I want to do, God, this is what I'm going to do, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm asking that you come up, you know, altar team, if you come up here for some prayer warriors, if in your life, if you've been just not trusting God completely, I'm asking that you would just come, that you would lay it at the altar. You lay it before him. If you haven't been expecting it, if you're in your mindset, you're just not expecting God to move, I'm asking that you'd allow somebody to pray for you, that they'd allow them to put their hands on you and pray with you, that you would have expectation for God to move. If you've just been struggling, please come forward, because today God wants to break something off of you today. Today, God wants to give you a fresh anointing and a fresh wind in your sails today. God wants to do something. He's just asking you, can you surrender to him? Can you come expecting? Will you trust him? Because he wants to do a miracle in your life, and one that would have fragments, one that would have leftovers for others to consume and see, able to see the goodness of God. That would change their life. God is doing something in this place. So beautiful, Lord. We surrender to you, God. We surrender. Stand to your feet with me. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up and receive the goodness of God.